singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high, and we just want to bless the Lord for it. Don't forget to remember to pray for our folks that will be traveling in, and we certainly thank God for the privilege of them being able to go down there in Houston and being able to help out and be a comfort to Miss Stephanie and the family, and we thank God for that. And then also, too, those that got to go have a little R&R along the way and all that. I'm sure that if they got sick and throwed up, they're not going to tell me about it. One of them kids will let it out of the bag, though. Take your Bible, if you will, please. What about Aunt Sissy? Yeah, that's all right. Well, we'll just, if you need something, let me know. Just let's remember to pray for her. All right, take your Bible to the book of Exodus in chapter 14. If you find the place, you're able to stand. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, verse number 29. The Bible said, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day." Can you remember that day when God saved you? God saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. All right, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. Of the horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name." Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank You for it, how good that it is to be in the house of God, bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, how we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We thank You, Lord, that what You've done in days gone by, You're not limited in the present hour. Thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside Thee there is none else. Bless this Word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while that if I might on this subject, my text verse in verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." I want to preach a sermon entitled, "Sang, Song, and Sing." When you begin to look into the Bible, you realize that the reason why man is in the mess that he's in is because of sin. I guarantee you, man, Israel has gotten to the place they started out. Remember when they came into Egypt, they had about 70 souls. They're about to be delivered out of Egypt, and there's going to be 600,000 men plus some women and children. Talk about a bunch that did some growing. But Israel, while they were in the land of Egypt and everything was going all right, until the king died that showed favor, now there's a bitter taskmaster that's been put on them, and boy, they begin to cry by reason of bondage. You know the reason why the average Baptist in the day and hour we live in walks down the aisle, smacking her gum, gets back up from the altar, walks back out, gets in the baptistry, lives just as godless and wicked as they ever did? You know the reason why? I'll tell you why. They never cried under the bondage of sin. If you ever cry under the bondage of sin, it's because you realize that the devil's really raking you over the coals, and he is a bitter taskmaster. And make no mistake about it, either the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, or the devil himself, one of the two, which is not a Savior, but just got you in bondage in the prison house. In this lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, sin. Now, you know how they got into Egypt in the start out with, don't you? They had a brother by the name of Joseph, remember him? And they were despised him because of the fact that the touch of God was upon old Joseph. And boy, his brethren didn't like it. And they got to hating him. And his father made him a coat of many colors and so forth and on. And they sold him into bondage. The reason why Israel went into bondage, they were paying for their sin. And that was over, and they ain't never going to get it paid for. And for 400 years in bitter bondage, And now they're crying by the reason of that, and they're wanting to be delivered. Can you remember when God come knocking on your door and how miserable you were? Remember when God showed you yourself like He sees you? Remember when God reached down and snatched you as a brand from the burning? I got to tell you right now, you couldn't stand another day with yourself like you was. I'm going to say that when you begin to look into this Bible here, you begin to recognize is that, first of all, we're talking about the cry of the sinner that's in bondage. And let me tell you, they cried until they were broken. Now, here they are helpless, and here they are hopeless. And here they are, you know, absolutely needing a deliverer, but there's not a deliverer for them at this given point in time. God's going to raise one up. And He raises one up by this man by the name of Moses. And boy, the devil hates Moses from the time that he's conceived and from the time that he's born. And as a result of that, he begins to go after him, trying to knock him out of the saddle. You know, that's about the way the Democratic Party is now, anybody that loves God and the Bible. Now, if you've got anybody in your family that's a Democrat, I'm sorry for you and sorry you're for them. Shame on you. I keep wondering why, in the name of God, that I've asked, why does the military have an oath? Why do they have to swear an oath in the military that they'll protect and they'll guard the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Why is it they promise that, swear that, and then they don't do nothing about it? You know, the reason why that we've got a bumbling idiot in the White House and all of his communistic-minded cabinet with him, you know why? The military hadn't done their job. The biggest violators of the Constitution are in the White House. I've asked every military person I see along the way. They don't know. I've asked everyone that used to be in and now retired. They don't have a clue. I got to tell you, the news, they talk around the issue all they can, but somebody, somewhere, ought to ask someone that took the oath that it means something to. In this day and hour that we're living in, is that it's a sad day that we're in, and the reason why that we got here, we've been sold into slavery by our own selves. We've treated the Lord's day just like it was another day. I mean, we go where we want to go, when we want to go, if we want to go, with no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent, and then we wonder why that we're in the condition that we're in right here. See what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that this is a doctrinal message that's here, and it speaks about a resurrected Christ. You know, going through there in the Sea of Death, and yet you'll find out that the Red Sea there was death unto everybody that didn't have any faith, but those that followed the Lord. I got to tell you right now, is you and I know that when we've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God, that we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, the Bible said that one of these days we'll be planted in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. This Bible said that you'll find out that He's made us to be raised up and to sit together with Him in heavenly places. I got to tell you, a person never comes to know the Lord until they realize and know that they're lost and undone without hope and without God, and that they're sinners and they're hell-bent and they're hell-bound. And let me tell you that a few now, I lay me down to sleep prayers ain't going to do it. You're going to have to finally have your heart examined and God open up your eyes and God grant you repentance and God give you faith to believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it'll change your life for all eternity when He does. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that not only is it about the cry of the sinner, but let me say to you, it's about the Christ who is the Savior of this world. Now, this power that was given by the hand of Moses came from the Lord God of glory Himself. Do you realize at all that there must have been a host? Could you imagine having to go across the Red Sea? You're hemmed in, and all the Pharaoh and his army and his chariots. By the way, there were 600 chosen chariots that Pharaoh had that he came after Israel with. I bet you that's a very spooky looking thing to see back there Pharaoh and all that dust and all them chariots and all them horsemen and all them mighty men of valor that were under the hand of Pharaoh. I bet that had to be spooky. And here you're hemmed in at the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's thinking, they're entangled into the Red Sea. I've got them right where I want them. And they would have been too. But see, Pharaoh didn't know nothing about God. Oh, Moses was there that day. Remember that? And the Bible said, if you read a chapter or two earlier, that finally that Moses cried out unto Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're not going to see Pharaoh and his chariots no more after today. He reminds him to remember that day. You know, I was thinking about whenever you begin to look into this lesson that's here, is that whenever Christ came into your heart and life, you're not helpless and you're not hopeless anymore. In fact, is you're going to find that what the Lord's about to do is he's doing something they've never seen before, never even heard tell of. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, that day whenever God opened up that Red Sea, verse number 20, and the children of Israel walked upon dry land. I told you the other sermon or two back is that I believe whenever you read that they kicked up dust. They wasn't walking around worried about getting mud on their shoes. They walked on dry land. And buddy, the Bible teaches us is that Pharaoh and his bunch no doubt stood there and watched them for a while, saw them going through. Well, they couldn't come at them because of that pillar of fire that the Lord had. And as a result of that, whenever he let that finally get away, they got to thinking, you know what, if Israel can go through there, so can I. And boy, they took in after them with 600 chariots and chosen men of valor and Pharaoh and all of his army thinking they're going to annihilate and get rid of all of those Israelites. And they took in behind them. And let me tell you right now, his God finally began to take the wheels off those chariots. You ever try to drive a chariot with no wheels on it? I got to tell you right now, it's worse than that dog that didn't have any legs that I just got through telling you about. You talk about a drag on a horse, if it ain't got any chariot wheels, it's fixing to drag in and it's going to be stopped and it's going to be stalled right there. And did you realize, though, that whenever all of Pharaoh's men, they begin to realize, though, that wall of water on the right and wall of water on the left, it's fixing to start coming back in. Wouldn't you like to be able to know what's in their mind at that time? Here these people have been an unholy terror to the people of Israel, and now they're terrorized by the hand of God. And Israel, by faith, believed God and marched through following Moses, and they walked on dry land. And this Bible said that, if you will please, is that he finally brought back in that ocean, brought that sea on top of those chariots and top of those horsemen that were there. Now, I want to tell you something. Is that one of these days the Lord's going to come and he's coming in vengeance. And let me tell you, he comes and he's going to be mad. And the Bible said over there in the book of Isaiah, and I want you to turn there in chapter number 57. Do not lose your place. Chapter 59, over in the book of Isaiah. I want to show you a passage there just real quickly. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59. Now, we read in our text here that our Lord is a man of war. Didn't we read that? And they said, the Lord is his name. Now, this crowd that's running around trying to paint some faggot's picture and claim that it's Jesus Christ, I bet that's going to make him a little bit furious when he comes again. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, that when the Lord comes, the Bible said that he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel. Now, in Isaiah chapter number 59, look in verse 17. For he putteth on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance. Look at him. You talk about a man fixing to go to battle. Here he is. He said, for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak, according to their deeds, and accordingly will he repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands will he repay recompense. I got to say to you, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and glory to the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I got to tell you, he's talking about the Redeemer. Verse 20 tells you, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, is that one of these days the Lord's going to come. Those that believe God, he's going to look upon them favorably. Those that believe not God, he's going to look upon them in vengeance. And it's going to be hell to pay, let me tell you. I want to say to you as we get back to our text and we get ready to leave this lesson here, as a result of that, you'll find that God promised unto Israel that he'd deliver them, and he has, and he did. Now they're singing a song. Did you ever notice how when you got saved, God put a song in your heart? Even praise unto our God. Do you ever notice, is that whenever you're listening to these special singers and boy, God will tug at your heart and you just want to praise the name of the Lord? You ever notice that? God put a song in your heart the day that he saved you. God put a song in Israel's heart when he delivered them and said, don't you fear Pharaoh and his chariots. After today, you'll see them no more. I got to say to you, man, what a song that they sang. What a song that we can sing. Nobody that doesn't know the Lord doesn't know nothing about that song. But let me tell you something. He put a song in our heart, a song in our mouth, even praise and thanksgiving unto our God. Every now and again, you and I are brought up against a wall that seems like that we're not going to be able to penetrate that wall. We're not going to be able to get over it, or under it, around it. Somehow or another, as we come to the end of our road and the end of our road, and let me just tell you what you ought to do is you ought to break out singing and thanking God for how good he's been to snatch you as a brand from the burning. I was thinking about, you know, this week, you know, you can even learn something from a witch of a wife. I've seen a person or two that, buddy, they look like, and I mean, you know, and that poor little fellow, he was scared. He's, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And, of course, then she, like, had a ring in his nose, snatched him, come on, you stay right up here with me. It made me go to singing and thanking God for a good, godly wife that I have. Oh, sure, she limps a little. Lord willing, we'll get that tended to. And we won't have to use Wild Turkey or Jack Daniels or one of them other, you know. You ever notice every drunk up and down the road of life trying to defend what they're doing and drink? Well, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine. Yeah, but he didn't turn it to Budweiser. And the most potent liquor content of wine or whatever you want to mention, they were not allowed to drink it. It was to be poured out as a drink offering before the Lord. And that's just a very simple Bible fact. There's no such thing as a beer drinking or alcohol drinking Christian. No such thing as that in the Bible. Now, you can find plenty of it in First Baptist, but you won't find it in the Bible. You can find it in the Methodist church, but you won't find it in the Bible. You see what I'm talking about? I get tired of people running up to me all the time saying, well, you know, I believe it's wrong to get drunk, but I don't believe it's wrong to drink a little. Fact is, we seen some woman, and she looked like she had TB, twin bellies, and she had on a T-shirt. And it said, I love Jesus, but I drank a little. She don't have a clue what he's talking about. Here's a woman, buddy, that's running around just showing her ignorance. We were eating at a restaurant when we saw that. It made me throw up a little bit in my mouth, and I was able to swallow it back down with a little tea. Well, I mean, there I am sitting there waiting on my order. I ain't got no place to spit it out. And so, hey, listen, you want to have some fun? We was in there, Miss Stephanie, and they pulled out that thermometer, stuck it in her mouth. Black woman, black lady right there. She stuck it in her mouth there, and I couldn't help it. I had to say it. I said, is that a rectal thermometer? And that black woman got tickled. Of course, naturally, you know, naturally, there's Brother Andy and Miss Stephanie and all that. And it said, who is you? Who? And they said, that's my preacher. So I covered my face up. And let me tell you right now, it is. I think she must like somebody every now and then that's not just straight-laced and stiff as a board, has no sense. And so I seen her out in the hall, and she said, where's your church at? He said, I'm coming to visit with you. I said, well, bring a thermometer, and we'll check their temperature with you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved. saved. Amen. I've got a song to sing, and I've been singing it since the day I got saved. I don't know about you, but if you're a child of God, you ought to be exceedingly joyful and glad that God snatched you as a brand from the burning, and you've got the song of deliverance in your heart that you can every now and again sing with your lips. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed as our eyes are closed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We thank you now for allowing us to be able to have a good service today. Yes. And that the Spirit of God's moved upon us and within us. And Lord, we thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. If there's one lost without God, may you knock upon their heart's door and grant them repentance and faith until they come to know thee and the free pardon of sin. Thank you for loving us now. Go with us to our homes. Bring us back again tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.